right, let's take our Bibles to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 2 this morning as we continue through the Word of God together. And the passage before us is really a series of connecting verses. And we're only going to get one of them, but I do want to read all of the context for you, because God has a truth He's trying to point out to the readers of the truth here. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4 is where we find ourselves. And the Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth," that's a pretty long sentence, "the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." There are two reasons God goes through all of these examples. And one is to show that individual that believes in God that God can deliver him out of any circumstance, no matter how awful the circumstance might be. He uses the angels, He uses Noah, He uses Sodom and Gomorrah as an example of that. If you find yourself in the most wicked society, that God can still deliver you. And that's where the early church found themselves in 2 Peter, in a most terrible situation. But as we have noticed in 2 Peter, they can still grow in their faith. They can still be what God wants them to be, no matter how many Neros are on the throne, or how many Sodomites are around you, or how much the world is against what you're doing. The second reason that he gives these examples is to try to show to men that there is a great cost to sin. God can get you out of any predicament in any world, in any generation. But at the same token, if you follow a certain path of life, then there is a cost to be paid. Let's ask God to help us tonight as we, or this morning as we look in the Word of God together. Father, we pray that you would teach these lessons to us. It might be indelibly upon our hearts. And Lord, that we would understand the high cost of sin to the point of staying away from it. And Lord, that you would help us see that no matter how wicked our world is, or how many others choose a different way, that we can live for God and we can grow and be what you want us to be. You're all that we need. And so, Lord, we pray you take the Word of God, make direct application to all of us this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Now, our subject is in verse 4. He's speaking of the angels. He says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." I want to preach a little while this morning on some lessons from the angels. Now, you know that the Bible speaks much about angels, and the Bible says there's an innumerable company of angels. There are so many angels they cannot be numbered. That means that there are, I'm sure, more angels than there are people living. And I say that because we've counted all the people, amen. And God says you can't count the angels. It's too high a number. And they're created beings of God for His purpose. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, that we need to you know, be full of hospitality and be careful how we treat other people, because many, there are people that have entertained angels unawares. In other words, if you met an angel, you wouldn't know it. It would be unaware to you. God's not in the business of revealing angels to people today. You say, well, what about in the Bible? Well, you know, I don't think the events of your life are going to merit the events of the birth of Jesus Christ into the world. You know, I mean, you know, we can just sort of take that off the table. I don't think anything going on in your life or my life has any close resemblance to Joseph not knowing why his wife is with child of the Holy Ghost. That's sort of, you know, a little bit farther out there. You're not going to meet an angel. If you do meet an angel, you wouldn't know who it was. But they're there. The Bible says that, and of course today, Colossians chapter 2 verse 18 says this, there's going to come a day where people will be worshiping angels. And we're in that day. I mean, the worship of angels is just as much a wickedness of worshiping a man or worshiping a false god. We live in a day where people are infatuated with angels. They have little figurines, little things on their house, and some people are infatuated. They're movies about angels and all this stuff, and people talk about angels and all this stuff. You know what the Bible says? When you look at angels, you ought to just remember Hebrews chapter 1, even all the stuff we read about angels in the Bible, Jesus is so much better than the angels. In other words, what ought to encompass our mind and infatuate us is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the power of angels. I know the place of them in the Bible. But man, I ought to be excited about Jesus. I ought to be excited about the things of the Lord. I ought not to want to see an angel. I want to see Jesus, you see. He is so much better, so much more powerful, so much more meaningful. An angel can't die for you. Angel couldn't get you out of your sin. Angels have their place, but they have not the place in the heart of a Christian. Jesus should have that place. Amen. But now God speaks of these angels in verse 4 in a fallen position. And the lesson we're going to learn this morning, I'll just go ahead and put it out for you. The theme of it is going to be this. If angels can sin, in how much trouble are we? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you and I, we don't live in the third heaven. You'd think so, you'd put somebody in a perfect environment and that's what you'd get out of their life. How in the world could somebody sin against God and turn their back on God in a perfect environment? An environment of complete holiness. An environment where it doesn't even take faith because God is in front of you. The very person of God is right there. You know, we don't have that situation. And God brings to our minds in verse 4 the truth that angels have not only sinned, but they've been cast down to hell and delivered into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, take your Bible, Revelation. Let's learn something real quick, if we can, together. Revelation chapter 12. Because they're actually, I believe, and I see it from Scripture, and I believe it makes perfect sense, Revelation chapter 12. I believe there have been or will be totally three different falls of angels. This is not just one event. And I say very plainly that it's not one event, because what we're reading this morning in 2 Peter chapter 2 is that all of these angels that have sinned, they have been put into chains. Am I right? They're all chained up. They're not free. They're chained up in darkness. They have been cast down to hell. Well, if that is true, then what are all those fallen angels and fallen spirits that we read about working in the Bible? In other words, all the angels that have sinned are not chained, because the devils and the principalities and the powers of Satan are still very at work, and he has a very great army. The devil can't be everywhere at one time. He's not omnipresent like God, but he certainly has enough angels that have sinned with him to influence the affairs of our world today. So if he chained all those angels that sinned in 2 Peter 2, why are there so many fallen spirits that are following the devil now? Where did they come from? Well, it was a different fall. Now, you'd think if somebody, listen just a minute. You'd think if somebody messed up their life in front of a whole lot. Now, this is profound. You would think if somebody messed up their life and everybody saw it, that they would learn that lesson not to mess up their life. Right? I'm talking about human beings, right? Now, how many of us have seen people fall into sin and ruin their life? We all have so many illustrations of that that we've seen played out in life. The sad thing is, people see that and they know that, and they themselves repeat that same lesson. That's not too wise. But that did not only happen in humanity. That happens with the angels. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, I'm not going to get into all this. I'm trying to move on to a point. But I'm going to learn something here and just show you a principle. In Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 3, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon." We don't have to guess who that is. We don't have to go through the Bible and see who that is, do we? That's Satan. That's the devil. "A great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the what? Of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth." Hold your finger right there. Would you look at chapter 1 of Revelation? What are these stars of heaven? Now look, I know there's typology in the Bible, but the Bible tells you what that typology is. What are these stars that the tail of the devil is drawing down to the earth? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, look at it. "The mystery of the 7 stars." You see that? "The 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks." The 7 stars are the what? You know, it's crazy. Some people write commentaries, speak about the Bible, preach about the Bible, and they say, "Well, I wonder who that is. Those angels there must be pastors or something." No, they're angels.
Amen.
He didn't say they're the 7 pastors of the 7 churches.
Right.
He says they're 7 angels of the 7 churches. You mean there's angels that have been placed to watch over churches? Well, if there are angels that are put to watch over God's people, it wouldn't be a stretch to see an angel helping watch over a church.
Right.
So why would he do that? Because there's also devils trying to destroy the church.
Right.
There are also devils trying to destroy your life and your family. There's a spiritual warfare that we can't even see, and thank God we can't see it. But thank you, God, for putting something in the way to help give some protection.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Angels involved in the work of the church that we can't even see. Daniel found out about those. They're fighting up there, and they're all trying to do something for Daniel and bring the message of God. And there's a spiritual warfare going on. And the angel finally gets down to Daniel and speaks to them. Now, he says those 7 angels, those 7 stars are 7 angels. He says in Revelation chapter 12 that the devil draws 1/3 of all the stars in heaven. When the devil fell, you had some angels fall. That fall preceded the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because look in Revelation chapter 12 again in our context. Because after this, the devil draws these stars of heaven and brings them to the earth with him. After this event, the Bible said in verse 5, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." You know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The woman, that's Israel, has brought forth a man-child, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule all nations with a rod out. What happened? They put him to death. They put him to death so the sin of our soul could be paid for. But praise God, he was caught back up unto God, and he's going to come again.
Amen.
That's the context. So all these angels fell. Sometime after that, the Lord came. But now watch in verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That is a prophetical time in the Bible. It's mentioned in chapter 11. It's mentioned many other places in the Bible. It encompasses the part of the tribulation period that's known as the Great Tribulation Period. And Israel's going to run and hide as the devil pours out his wrath upon this world and toward Israel. Now look at verse 7. So at this time, during this tribulation time, all this is yet future. So we see a past fall, but watch this future fall, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Boy, you know that's coming. That hadn't happened yet, but it's coming. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. And prevailed not, neither was there place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and was cast out into the earth, and his what? His angels were cast out with him. Now, none of that has to do with our text. Our text is not talking about angels that are free following the devil. It doesn't talk about the future day where there's going to be war in heaven and Satan has his angels fighting against Michael and God's angels that he has. That's not about that. Our angels that were in our text is an example for us of how angels sinned and fell and were put in chains. We read about that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. I'm not going to repeat that. But I want to read one phrase in Jude. Go to Jude. That talked about these angels particularly. So there were angels, I believe, that fell with Satan's fall. There are angels, secondly, that fell at a later time. I believe it was Genesis 6. Around Noah's day, which is the context of where we are in 2 Peter chapter 2. And there's going to be a third fall of angels, I believe, in the future during the tribulation period. But let's read Jude. Jude verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. In other words, they left where God put them. They didn't want to stay where God put them. They left heaven. They left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. I believe that happened in Genesis chapter 6. The angels left. They were drawn away. They sinned against God. They went after strange flesh, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. He says in verse 7, and God took those angels and he locked them up and he chained them up and he put them in darkness and he cast them down to hell and he wouldn't let them do that anymore. And that is an example to us of how the judgment of God will fall on anyone that turns their back against God. You know the wild thing, and I wish I had time this morning, I'm not going to take it, but when Satan fell, Satan's not an angel. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 28, he was a cherub. God has seraphim. Those are different created beings. He has cherubim. Those are different created beings. He has angels. Those are different created beings. He has beasts. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 28 that Satan, before he fell, was the anointed cherub that covered. Of course, the Bible calls him Lucifer, unless you don't have a King James Bible and then you don't know what his name is. You see, somebody asked me about, why y'all believe in the King James Bible? Because it has all the words in it.
Right.
You know, that's a very simple explanation. I mean, I can sit and teach for 16 hours about the Bible verse. But you know, a very simple definition is this. Get a Bible that has all the words in it.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
The Bible tells us his name was Lucifer. He was the anointed cherub that covered. Ezekiel 28 goes into the fall of Satan. Matter of fact, just turn there real quick. Real quick. Can we do that? Real quick. Because we're trying to learn a lesson, right? We see these angels that fell. We know the devil fell. I don't want to fall into sin.
Amen.
I don't want to fall into a place of judgment in my life. And if the angels can do that, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ezekiel 28. Watch this text. It says, and this is about the devil. The Bible says in verse 12, this was before his fall, before he sinned. Ezekiel 28, in verse 12, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Lucifer was a beautiful cherub, a beautiful created being of God. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Look up here just a minute. Lucifer was in the garden of Eden.
before he fell. Now, we know he was in there after he fell, right? Because he was that serpent that came and tempted. But he was in the Garden of Eden before his fall. Do you remember God walking in the cool of the day and fellowshipping with Adam? Remember that? And the Bible says the glory of God walked in the cool of the day and fellowship with Adam. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you know what those cherubs did? You know what a cherubim's job was? Was to pick up the glory of God and take it around wherever you wanted to go. Some of the first parts from chapter 1 to chapter 10 of Ezekiel are so fascinating. It talks about cherubim going and picking up the throne of God and the glory of God and moving it around, and their wheels are running and they're taking, like you would pick up a throne, like they would pick up a throne and take the throne of that king where they want to go. That's what the cherubims did. They attended the glory of God. Well, the Bible says that Lucifer was beautiful. He was in Eden, the garden of God. Verse 13 talks about how all these stones, he was created, the pipes. He was a musical created being. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now watch this. What happened? God's coming in the Garden of Eden, and the glory of God's there. And the purpose of Lucifer is to cover the glory of God. You know, the glory of God's so bright, it would just blind and destroy everything. I mean, the glory of God is pure light, is pure power, is pure glory, more glory than the sun. And Lucifer covered the very glory of God. He was the anointed cherub that covered. And the Bible tells us here, he says, verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Why? Why did iniquity? Why did sin? Why did Lucifer fall? Verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy what? You know, one of the most grievous sins in the world. It is the most grievous. Here is a cherub that covers the very glory of God. The cherub that God created to look upon His glory 24 hours a day, all through eternity, to cover that glory. And as the cherub is looking upon the glory of God, his heart is lifted up about his own beauty. Wow. Sir, ma'am, if you can look at the glory of God and only see your beauty, you deserve to go to hell. You understand what I'm saying? If you're in the very presence of God and all you can think about is your glory and your beauty, how much more beautiful do you think God is? How much more holy do you think God is? How much more inviting and wonderful do you think the God of all heaven is? And all Lucifer could think about was his own beauty. And God says, ouch. Well, that can be an example to us. You know what we get to do every time we open that Bible? We get to look in the face of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. We get to look into the very glory of God, into the face of Jesus Christ, and get changed into His image. How is it that we can have a Bible and have a church and have the glorious Spirit of God in our soul, but instead of seeing the Lord, instead of seeing the beauties of God, all we can fasten our attention on, it's not Him, but me. That's the lesson from Lucifer. That's the lesson from the devil that fell. Sin was found in him. And other angels followed in that same example of wickedness. The angels kept not their first estate. And the angels that sinned, the Bible says, God spared them not. You know, the Bible says God's not going to spare. He says, you know, vengeance is mine. He's not going to spare. He's going to repay. The Bible says if he spared not the natural branches, you think he's going to spare you? If he didn't spare Israel, you think he's going to let us by as his people? If he didn't spare the angels that were perfectly created, what? You think he's going to let us by? Now, we've been redeemed. The angels don't have that. The angels don't have the blessing of redemption of their transgression. But the example is, God can help us out of our temptations. God can help us out of the perilous times that we live in. But be in mind, God doesn't just overlook the bad. There's a consequence. There's a cost. And you know that hell? He cast them down to hell. The Bible tells us that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, he says, "Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." There was never a hell until the devil and his angels sinned. Are you listening to me? There never was a hell. God made that. God didn't make hell for you. God doesn't want man to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He didn't make hell for human beings. He made hell for the devil. He made hell for the devil and his angels.
Right.
Why do people go to hell? Because they get caught in the same trap.
Yeah.
Man got caught in the same trap that wasn't for him. God's not chosen anybody to go to hell. We know that hell wasn't even made for anybody. But man got caught the same trap that the devil did, the same trap that the angels did, and without the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll endure the same torment forever. You know, that's not God's fault. It says God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Why would anybody complain about the chains that they made for themselves? It wasn't God's fault. Why would people complain about the judgment that they have to endure that they brought upon themselves? People that hate the judgment of God are hating something that they made for themselves. It's not that God is so mean and hateful. It's just that I made those chains for me. I brought that judgment upon me. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. Now, I want to give you several things. I'm going to do this real quickly. I'm going to give you some points. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, if you're not already there. Now, this is where I'm getting at. I'm looking at good folks here at Sweet Springs Baptist Church. Good folks. You're good folks. Because you're in church this morning. Amen. But here's the principle of the Word of God. If an angel who is so far beyond you can totally mess up their life, then you know what we ought to do? Just like the Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he" what?
Fall.
And if the angels can fall, and if Satan can fall, how much danger am I in if I don't really stick my nose in that book and get some help from the Lord?
Right.
Now, the first thing I'll show you about angels, which is far beyond us. Look at chapter 2. In chapter 2 of 2 Peter chapter 2, he says in verse 11, watch this now, "Whereas angels," are you with me? "Whereas angels which are greater in power and might." Angels have more power than you. They have more might than you. They have more intellect than you. One angel in the Bible wiped out 144,000 people that quick. But with all their might, with all their power, in spite of their might, in spite of their power, you know what they did? They sinned and suffered the consequence. We will never have so much power that we can say, "Hey, I stand." The fall can be very quickly. In spite of the power. He said in the rest of that verse, "Bring not against..." Not railing accusations against them before the Lord. These angels, they respect authority. The angels respect authority. They got very good common sense. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we preached here before. The second thing about angels. They sinned in spite of their power. They failed. They fell in spite of their might. And how weak we are. How weak our flesh is. How much more do we need to trust and depend upon God and find the help of the Lord? We're weak.
Yeah.
I'm weak, but thou art mighty. We sang the hymn this morning, "Fill Me Now." We sang the verse, "I'm weakness, full of weakness. and the angels that are strong and powerful and full of might, they ruined it. Oh God, I need Thee. You see that? The brazen pride of mankind that don't think they need God with so little power and weakness that we have in our lives. We ought to run to God and ask for help.
Yes.
Because the angels, greater in might and power, sinned. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. Remember when we preached on this? Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things the what? The angels desire to look into. The angels fell in spite of their power. The angels fell in spite of their interest in spiritual things. You know what the angels in heaven had an interest in? You know what they were interested in? They were interested in God. They were interested in God's salvation. And when we meet together and we preach the Word of God, the angels are looking down in here. They're interested in it. Angels are far more interested in the Word of God than people are. Now you think about that. You think you're going to get by with such a low interest in God and such a low interest in the Bible and such a low interest in spirituality when the angels desire spiritual things and they still sinned? Do you see the picture? They still fail. Drop on down. He says in verse 22. They fell in spite of their power. They fell in spite of their interest in spiritual things. You say, well, I go to church. Hey, man, the angels are a lot more interested in God than you are just because you come to church. You need more than just a trip to church. You need more than just an interest in the Bible and the things of God. And the people that aren't, they're just not even any hope. You understand? If people are more interested in the screen than they're interested in the Holy Ghost and the power of God and the Word of God and the things of God, they're not even any hope. Because people that were actually desirous and interested, they sinned. 1 Peter 3:22. Who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Watch it now. Angels, you see that? And authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. The third thing about they fell in spite of their subjection unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels were submitted to God. You understand? The angels stood before God, reporting for duty, Lord. And by the way, the devil still does that. The book of Job shows us. He goes up, he reports, he gives an account of himself, stands before God. The devil is more in subjection to the Lord God than some people are that say they're saved.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord, my time to give an account. I'm here. I hate your guts, but I'm going to do what you say. Whew. What was the principle of the devils in Jesus' day? Didn't they humble themselves before the Lord Jesus Christ? The devils, the fallen angels, in spite of their submission to God, they still sinned. Now let me ask you a question. How do you think your life's going to work out if it's not in submission to God, when people that were in the submission to God ruined their whole eternity?
Right.
I mean, you see that principle? How low should I really keep my heart? In spite of that, they fail. Look at Hebrews, quickly. Hebrews chapter 2. Excuse me, what hit chapter 1? Hebrews chapter 1. Angels fell in spite of their power, in spite of their interest in spiritual things, in spite of their subjection unto God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, look at it. Hebrews 1:6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten in the world, he saith, and let all the what? Angels of God do what? All the angels worship God. It's not like in a congregation of believers any given Sunday where, you know, most people are worshiping God. Oh, you know, you can be in church and never worship God.
Right.
You ought to worship God every chance you get. Amen. I mean, if the song's going, you ought to just take advantage of that. If the Spirit of God's working in your heart, you ought to take advantage of that. Worship God. Don't be ashamed to worship Him.
Amen.
But that book says that these angels fell in spite of the fact they knew how to worship God and they worshiped Him day and night. Whew. They worship God a lot more than we do. I still fail. Hebrews chapter 1, drop down to verse 7. And of the angels, again, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Look at verse 14. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all, he's talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You know what angels occupied themselves with doing? Doing whatever God wanted them to do. Angels have a ministry. Angels take care of what God wants them to take care of. Angels do God's business. An angel, his whole business was God's business. And they fell and they sinned in spite of the fact that their whole life was wrapped up in the ministry. Whew. They fell in spite of their sonship. I don't have time to read it. Job 38:7. Read it there when you get home. It's a description of what happened when God created everything. And the Bible says when God created there, that the morning stars, there's those angels again, the morning stars shouted. And they sang. They shouted and they rejoiced when God made everything. Woo! Look what God just did. Look at that solar system. Look at those clouds. Look at that earth. Look at those animals. They just rejoiced when God laid the foundation of the earth. And the Bible said in that verse, Job 38:7, and all the sons of God. Now, there wasn't nobody created at the beginning of the earth. A son of God is a direct creation of God. That was one of the reasons Adam was called a son of God. Adam was called a son of God because God made him with his own hand. And we're called the son of God because God, if you get born again, God makes something in you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But he made those angels and in spite of their close-knit creation to God Almighty as their Father, they still fell and they still sinned. Despite of their perfect nature. Guys, look at me. We have a sinful nature.
Yeah.
Even if you're born again, you walk around with a body that doesn't want to do right. The angel didn't even have that. The angel had no sin nature. He was just like Adam, created in perfection and created in innocence. Never a wrong thought, never a wrong word, never a wrong, no sin nature to draw them away. You say, well, why did Adam sin? Well, he went in with his eyes wide open, son. He was not deceived. He chose it. The angels were not deceived. The angels were perfect. Holy. And one day they said, I don't want you, God. I want that. My Lord and my God. If a holy angel can make such an awful decision, in how much danger are we? I'm going to finish. Would you get two passages and I'll read it and we'll be done, I promise you. 1 John 3 and John 15. The same writer wrote this. You say, preacher, that's sort of an overwhelming thing. I guess there's no hope for us. Wrong. Remember where we are? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. You don't have to follow the example of the angels. You don't have to follow the example of Noah's day. You don't have to follow the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because God Almighty can get you out of that trouble. And you can grow in the Lord and love the Lord Jesus Christ and be spared from the awful cost and consequences of sin. 1 John 3, look at it, guys. 1 John 3, 6. The Bible says, whosoever abideth in him, what's that word? Sinneth not. Preacher, what do I have to do to make sure I don't sin like the angels? Abide in him. No one ever sinned that abode in him. If you abide in him, it'd keep you away from that. What a promise in the Scripture. Listen, guys, this is for every one of us. But, if, he says, but if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
What do I do? I'm not as strong as the angel. What do I do? I don't have the nature that that angel had. What do I do? He could worship God and serve God more than I ever could. What do I do? I walk in the Spirit, and if I walk in the Spirit, I won't sin against God. If I hide the Word of God in my heart, I'll not sin against thee, the Bible says. But I've got to abide in Him. I've got to stay with Him. Last verse, John 15. Jesus said in verse 4, abide in me. Why? Because if you will, you won't sin. Abide in me. Why? Because if you will, you won't follow the example of all those terrible things we just read. Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. Except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is like cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Look here, Jesus says this. Awful example of these angels over here. Awful example with Noah's day and Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't have to be your life. What do? I'm not strong enough. I'm not powerful enough. You go to Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, I want to abide in you. I want to wrap my whole life up in you, Jesus. You know where people destroy their lives? They don't wrap their lives up in Christ. Even saved people. They don't abide in Him. They don't wrap it. Their heart, their dreams, their prayers, their thoughts. If we will abide in Him, we will not sin. We will. And every time, every one of us sin against God, you know what happened? I got away from my closeness to abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if those angels sin, how much do I need to get a little closer? How much do I need to get a little closer?